Amen. Morning, everyone. This thing is more stable than it was, but I think we can maybe put something here as well. this is not an illusion. That's Tony. This is Kobus. He's leading worship. I'm preaching. It is. My heart is really just stirred with faith this morning as I come to share. I'll get through it. So it's not because I'm nervous. I think it's just like there's just really something that God is stirring in my heart this morning. And I phoned my mom this morning, and I wasn't expecting her to just be completely in tears, because I didn't think about it, that this is the first Mother's Day that she has without her mom and my grandmother. And as MC shared that word now, just on Timothy, and like I spoke to Reed yesterday just about my gran and like her faithfulness to God and what she walked in and what she broke open in prayer. And just what I believe I stand in here today is actually what she broke open before God and what she trusted God for. Is that her children will be followers and her grandchildren will be followers of God. So I'm just like so encouraged this morning to actually bring this word. I think if you've been with us like from the beginning of the year and over the last few months, like you would have heard us say quite a few times that you are slap bang in the middle of a church plant. And this is a new church. And why do we say that? And I think it's like the ways of God is ancient, and the message that we carry is ancient, and it's come all through the ages. And we stand here today with that message, but because we are not Edgemeet AM anymore, and there's not 250 people in the room anymore, and we're just over 100 now, 120 or how many, the expression of what God is doing and like how God wants to bring that message will look different, because the dynamic of the room is different, and that makes it new. And I think just in that, over the last few weeks, like we've been going through predominantly through the beginning of the book of Acts, and just how the church was planted, and what was the values and the foundations that the early church was built on. And as we reestablish and begin to understand those values, we can start to find how that expresses itself within this context, within this room, and we can find just what God actually wants to do, and how He wants to do it through us. And Rian shared a few weeks ago, and it was on how we are positioned for purpose, and the church was birthed, like they realized, you've been hearing this a lot, that Jesus is alive. I can't say it like Rian. I maybe must say it, Rian, say it.
Jesus is alive.
Said it quite a few times. So, and they recognized that Jesus, they saw Him with their own eyes, and Jesus is alive. And like as He was taken up into heaven, like they're like, what do we do now? And they went and they waited. And then they prayed, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And in that moment, the church was birthed. And so we pick up, we can read Acts 2:42. And this is like, just as the church was birthed, and three thousand was added to them in that day. And then all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And so we've started with this, and Rian looked 2 weeks ago. He looked at like basically fellowship and how like unity, and he spoke through John 17 and the Lord's Prayer, and how God's prayer for us is to be united. And so where the first one was positioned for purpose, the second one was united in purpose. And this morning, what I want to bring, so I thought, let's go on the purpose trail or stay on that trail. So I want to say led in purpose. And the thing I want to focus on this morning is actually that thing that they were devoted to prayer. And so just before, because we're speaking about prayer, I think just before we start, I actually just want to create a moment where each and every one of us can act like it was such a beautiful time of worship and Angelo bringing that word, and it's like our heart just understanding that God surrounds us and that He's here with us and that He wants to come and speak to each and every one of us. So I think just like take a minute or two and just ask God for one thing that He will come and do in your heart this morning through the message that will come. And also in that, I also want to ask, if you can, please take notes and take these things to heart. So just a moment. It's just, yeah, just come before the Lord. Our Lord. Now, my desire this morning is that as we look at this thing of prayer, Lord, that it the desire won't be birthed in how we do it, Lord, but the fact that we can do it, Lord. The fact that we can come to You, Lord, at any moment and know that You have made a way for us to have a relationship with You. And a relationship, Lord, in a relationship there is communication, Lord. Oh, Lord, so come and do in our hearts what only You can do this morning. Come, Lord. Yeah, so as we go through this, there's three sections that I'm going to do. So first, I want to look at why do we pray? So secondly, I would like to look at what makes it different for us as a Christian to be able to pray. And then lastly, I want to look at three expressions of prayer in our lives and like almost the how does it look practically. So firstly, let's start with why do we pray? And I'd say it's easy to overcomplicate this answer, but the simple reality is this, is Jesus walking on this earth as a man prayed. And if Jesus, the Son of God, the Eternal One, as He gave Himself and took on flesh, if He was devoted to prayer and dependent on God in prayer, we can't live in any other way. Like, it is something that we should do. And like all through Scripture, you can see, I mentioned earlier, Rian spoke about John 17 earlier, and that's a prayer of Jesus where He prays to the Father and He says, make them one as we are one. And He's this, so there's prayer in that. We see oftentimes Him going away alone to pray, going up onto the mountain and going to pray. You see in Luke 6, sorry, I need water actually. In Luke 6, we see Jesus actually going up to the mountain, praying overnight, coming back, and then meeting with all His disciples. And out of that place, He chose the 12 apostles. And then we see Him as well in the night before His crucifixion. He's in the garden. He's praying before God. And He said, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And then even on the cross, actually, no, my donkey, kwardier. Vat my nerd tijd. As jy dit doen. Yeah, it's very dry. Let me just... I realize now I can't speak. Water. Lovely. As I said now, in the garden, the night before His crucifixion, we see Him praying to the Father. And then even on the cross, before He dies, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's a prayer in Jesus' heart, where He's actually, in His dying breath, He's actually still praying. And then we see in Scripture, you can put up Romans 8:34. You see this, who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And then in Hebrews 7 verse 25, consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So we see not just in Jesus coming to earth did he pray as a man, he's still the one seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So he's still praying. And yeah, that is such encouragement. Like, yeah, he's our example. He lived a dependent life, and we follow him, and we walk as he walked. And then just like another cool thought that I had on prayer, and like prayer is the very way in which we relate to God. So that's why we pray, because there's no other way for us to actually relate to God. And the moment we pray, the moment we acknowledge God and step into that space, we actually step into God's reality. We are limited by time and space. God is not. And it might sound super mystical, but it's not that mystical. And that's the reality. It's like the moment we pray, we actually step into God's reality, which is not limited by time and space. Like, think of it like this. Like, I can pray here now for people in America, and God can do something because of the faith that I had for that prayer. It's actually a crazy thought. Even John 17, like, do you believe that prayer of Jesus is still bearing fruit in this day? It's a question. Like, do you believe it? So that means 2,000 years after Jesus prayed that prayer, we still walk in the fruit of that prayer. And that's a crazy thought for me, actually. It's like it is not, yeah, I don't want to over, I think the the temptation is to over-explain that, but it's, then, yeah, next thing. So that's why we pray. We pray because Jesus prayed, and we pray because it's the way we relate to God. So the next thing I want to look at is what makes prayer different for a Christian. And, yeah, Jesus is the one that makes it different for a Christian. Like, Jesus is the one who said, so John 14:7, I don't think I asked him to put it up, but it is fine. We all know this scripture. Said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This, like, that's the claim Jesus made. And that claim is actually solidified by the fact that Jesus accomplished everything that he said he would accomplish. He came, he walked on earth, he died, he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And there's a scripture, I think I asked you to, yeah, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 to 5, it says this. I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. And he was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. And then it goes on to say he was also seen by 500 others. And then he ascended to heaven. And like that, Jesus accomplished what he said he would accomplish. And because he did that, we can trust that when he says, I am the only way to the Father, there is no other way, then we can believe it to be true. And I just had this picture of Jesus actually, like, the scripture that I read earlier about him being, he's currently interceding for us. And it's like, if someone does not know God, and he comes, and he doesn't come in the name of Jesus, God is not unaware of that prayer, but his ear is not inclined to it. But for a Christian, the reality is this, is that if we come in the name of Jesus, Jesus is interceding for us. He's seated next to the Father, and he says, Father, This is your child. He's washed by my blood. Hear his prayer. Incline your ear. So that's actually interceding for us. Like, I don't say this is how it's always happening, but I believe that there's something of that's what it looks like when we come in the name of Jesus before the Father, and the Father inclines his ear. And that is such a beautiful thing. Love that. And then, so that's the why and the what makes it different. And then I said, like, we'll look at three expressions of prayer in our life. And, as I prayed earlier, like, my desire is really that we don't find the desire in the how do we do it. It is actually in the fact that we can do it. The fact that we can approach our God. The fact that, that there's been a way made for us to actually come before God. And Mike Davies said this thing, prayer is not about doing it perfectly. It's just about doing it. And that's the fact. It doesn't have to look perfect. It doesn't have to, like within these expressions of prayer, it doesn't have to look a certain way. It is just for us to actually come before God, because we can, because Jesus made a way. So the first one I want to look at after I take another sip of water is ... I'm very thirsty. So the first one I want to look at is continual or constant communion. So you might be asking, does that mean I have to be breaking bread and drinking wine the whole time? No. So if you go look up the definition of communion, the first one that comes up, so it says one, and then this is written there. The sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially on a mental or spiritual level. That is deep. It is like, so it is, there's the coming and sharing in the Lord's Supper, but then there's actually like a deep sharing of thoughts, intimacy with God. And because, as I said earlier, Jesus made a way. Jesus giving himself on the cross and actually saying, I am the way. Because that happened, I can do this continually. I do not have to wait. I do not have to bring an offering or anything like that. The offering has been made. And at any moment in time, I can step into that. I can. The very thing that I'm doing here now is I'm trusting God that he will get me through this. So it's like I can always be before God. And what was shared earlier, so thank you, Angelo, for sharing Psalm. Thank you, Wimpy, for my Psalm. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have time to read Psalm 139, but thank you for the Lord dropping that into Angelo's heart and him actually sharing that thing, because that's what constant communion actually looks like. The fact that God is always, he always surrounds me. It doesn't matter where I go, where I step in, like I know that he's always there with me. And there's also Psalm 73, verse 23 to 25. Says, nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. And then you can go read Psalm 16 as well, where David speaks about this thing, I set the Lord always before me. And there's a reality in that he's always there. Like, I don't have to explain it any more than that, because it's been so beautifully touched on this morning, and actually God coming through and already laying that foundation, the fact that he surrounds me, he's always there. And and that's like when Jesus encourages us in John 15, it speaks about the abiding in Him. That's what it is. It's like us constantly being with Him because of the Holy Spirit that's been poured into us. He's always with us, so we can always be with Him. And then, like in continual communion, like I believe this is the place where there's actually, this is where the renewing of the mind takes place. Because in our daily walks, we constantly have thoughts coming into our mind and doing this, and I don't have a set time where I'm not stopping and praying or that I've set out, like, this is when I'm going to pray. We can come in those moments where those thoughts comes and we can submit it to God, and in that, He can come and renew our minds with Scripture, with the truth of who He is. And that's where we meditate on Scripture, where we actually pray over Scripture. It's in our daily lives, it becomes part of us. That is continual communion. And I just want to share like a story just in my life and how God actually broke that thing open for me. So it was like 2017. I remember I was sitting, it was a Monday afternoon, and I went to go sit on a bench in a park. And I felt God say to me, ask me to test you. I'm like, okay, Lord, test my heart. Because I had kind of laid something before the Lord, like in the 2 months before that. And like I felt God actually say, ask me to test you. And for the next 3 months, it was absolute torment in my mind. Like, I have not experienced a season like that in my life. Just how my thoughts was taken captive, not by me. And in that time, like, actually, I needed to take hold of those things and lay it before God. And there was a moment, I remember, about 3 months later, where I was standing in church, and, like, in the week leading up to that, I felt God say, like, the season is coming to an end. And I remember standing that Sunday, and it felt like this warm, like, just this warm ball actually coming up out of my stomach. And it's like I physically breathed it out, and I knew in that moment as it happened that the season's done. But what that actually did in my life was, in those 3 months, it taught me that God is always with me. It taught me that I can overcome because I'm not alone. Like Rian shared it earlier about dwelling in safety because the Lord is always with me. I know that I'm safe. Like even in my thoughts being really, really intense, I knew I was not alone in God and that He was faithful, and that if He had asked me to test you, like He will carry me through. He will bring me through, and I could spend time with Him. And I still have that thing in me where I can actually know that God is always with me, and I can always lay my thoughts down. And that's what God broke open in my life in that season. So that's continual communion. The next one I want to look at is consecrated prayer. I didn't say this at the start. So this is the three C's. So as Rian said, nice Baptist preach. So the three C's. Two of them had a C naturally. I had to find a C for the other one. So consecrated prayer. This is the C I had to find. So consecrated prayer. So what does consecrated mean? It simply means that it's set apart. And so this would be times in your day that you specifically set apart to pray to God. And this can be, like, we all have different schedules. We all have different things happening in our lives. So as I said earlier, like, it's not about doing it perfectly. It's just about doing it. And it can be as simple as the first 5 minutes after I wake up, God, I'm going to come to You. I'm going to dedicate time to You, and I'm going to pray. It can be, Lord, I'm going to take 5 minutes between 12 and 5 past 12, and I'm going to come to You, and I'm going to trust You specifically for things. And that's consecrated, that's set apart times. And we see this also in Scripture. And like I shared earlier with Jesus, like going away, spending time in prayer. I'm very thirsty again. This is intense. I'm sorry. It's like your lips stop moving. Just get stuck. Should maybe get some water up here, not just. So Jesus actually going away to pray. We see Paul, like in all his letters, I think it's in probably all of his letters, somewhere he alludes to this thing that I constantly pray for you. And I believe like Paul had a ceaselessness in prayer and in thought for the churches. But I also believe that there were set apart times where he would come before God in the day because he saw it. And in that, he can, so there was actually those set apart times where he could actually pray to God as well. And then Jesus encouraged the disciples when they asked him, Lord, but how should we pray? And then in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 6, when we speak, where the Lord's prayer is, he says to them, go into your rooms and pray like this. And there's actually a thing of like for us to go into our rooms, go and spend time with God. And I forgot to send the picture to Enzo, but I wanted to. So what this looks like in my life. So recently, I dedicated a little corner because my mind goes all over the place. So I can't do it just anywhere. So I needed to create a space where I can actually sit with God. And I created in my study a little corner with a little lamp on my piano that in the mornings, first thing in the morning, that's where I go sit. And I go pray to God, or just spend time with God, read His Word, like have those times that you set apart, have a space that is set apart for God, where there's no distractions, where it's actually just you and God, and you can trust for specific things, and in what I shared at the start with my gran, like I know my gran every single day. She would wake up and she would go and sit. She had not a big room. I mean, the room was probably like this size, like this big. It was not a big space. And she would go sit in that space and she would pray and she would trust for people. And she would tell them that I'm praying for you the whole time. And that's what we see actually in Scripture is a set apart time, and then telling people, I am praying for you. And so that's consecrated prayer, a set apart time. It's crazy how fast time goes. Like I was like, it feels like I've been busy for like 5 minutes. I thought about like when I was preparing, like how do you speak on prayer? Like how do you teach for like 30 minutes or 40 minutes on prayer? And then I started like building this preach, and I'm like, how do you only speak 30 minutes? It's like the topic is actually so vast, like 40 minutes. How do I condense it? So the first one, constant communion. Second one, consecrated prayer. The third one, no least important, very important, corporate prayer. That is the third C. That one was also natural because corporate has a C. Amen. So just to give us a bigger target to aim at, I'm only going to mention corporate prayer in two instances, basically, in our life. So the first one would be us coming together and, let me read it here so it's better. To come together in agreement over certain things and trust God's trust for God's power to break open over those specific things we are trusting for together. And this what this would look like is about an hour and a half ago, we were standing here, 8:15, praying together, trusting God for the morning. That's corporate prayer. That's us coming together, trusting God that He will come and do something in our midst this morning. It would be, we haven't done it lately, but we used to have our Monday night prayer meetings once a month. That's corporate prayer. It would be in community on a Wednesday night, as simple as that. We come together, we pray together. That is corporate prayer. I remember just a quick story on this, like the Pinehurst building, for those who don't know, it was not always there. We had to trust for the land for long. It was quite a long process. And for a few years, we were actually standing on those grounds on a Monday evening, every Monday, praying together, trusting God that we would get that piece of land and that we can build a church. And there's a church today. And it is like, I remember walking into that venue 2 years ago or something when Rian went to go preach there. And I just felt like I believed in my heart that there was an inheritance for me in this place because I trusted, I contended for this. And even though I'm not in that venue, like something that we trusted for on those Monday evenings together, God has done something and He's still doing something and it will continue to be done in that place. And like that's corporate prayer. That's the power of us coming together in agreement. The second way corporate prayer plays out is actually it can just be two or three of us coming together and praying. Like it can even be in a moment. It doesn't have to be a specific time. It can be us spending time together, having a braai, someone share something, and it's like, but why don't we just pray into that? And that can be corporate prayer. So it doesn't have to be something that's done at set times. It can be done at any time when we are gathered together. And that's the three C's of prayer and how it expresses itself in our lives. And then I want to read again, like Acts 2, 42 and 43. So Enzo, if you can, just put 42 and 43. So it said, all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And what happened? A deep sense of awe came over all of them. And then in verse 47, it says, there at the end, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And that's the power of actually just having these values and devoting ourselves to actually to one another, to God and to one another in prayer, in fellowship, in actually taking even what I'm presenting to you today and going before God. It's like, Lord, how does this apply to my life? Because it's like, we can come here every single Sunday and we can preach a message, but if we actually don't make these things a part of our lives, then like it's never going to reach the full potential. Like this will never reach the full potential that God has for it. So, I think like that's basically, that's it for just why do we pray? What is it that makes it different for us? And then what's the expressions of prayer? And then what does it accomplish in our lives? So, I just, yeah.